You know, if I were to ask you to be faster than a speeding bullet, or more powerful than a locomotive, or to be able to jump a tall building in a single bound, you'd say, what, are you asking me to be Superman? You know, in Scripture, sometimes there are those passages and stories that feels like God is asking us to be spiritual supermen. Today, Pastor Rock takes a concept that seems just that, so lofty, so unattainable, so super spiritual. When you really understand what God meant, it is something very attainable for us on a daily basis. So join me now as we spend a little bit of time with Pastor Rock on this quite attainable attribute. You know, in Scripture, there are so many concepts that seem so lofty and seem so out there that it's almost unattainable. One of those scriptures, Pastor, that I want to visit today is one that says, be ye holy as I am holy. Now, that is quite the mandate to try and live up to. And I really would like to think that it's not as big of a task as we like to make it out. So this concept of holiness.
Well, I think the definition of holiness is the crux of the matter, if you will, because if you define holiness as a moral posture equal to that of God, a level of perfection that matches that of God, and that's what you're hearing in that verse, God saying you're to be as morally perfect and complete as I am. Well, right there, you're done. I mean, you're done before they lift the starting gate. You're never going to get there in this life or in the next, really. So if be holy as I am holy means we're to attain to the level of moral perfection that God enjoys, that's impossible.
Right.
I think the key is to understand that the essence of the word holy involves two things. The first is complete, lacking nothing. So to be holy as a human being is to have at your disposal everything you need to live an authentic human life as God intended. You're complete as a human being. You're not lacking any necessary component. So there's that aspect of holiness. If you plug that into that mandate, then God is saying to us, just as He is whole and complete as our Creator and our God, we are to be whole and complete as His creation. Because a complete God is complete and comprehensive when He creates. Put it simply, a God who is complete creates human beings who are complete. He doesn't create Himself, but He creates human beings that lack nothing. So when you think of holiness as wholeness, completeness, lacking nothing, then God says, just as I am complete as your Creator, you can be complete as my creation, because I've put at your disposal everything you need to be authentically and fully human, to live life abundantly. The other meaning of holy is set apart. Set apart unto God, set apart for a specific purpose and lifestyle. And if you plug that meaning into the verse, then just as God is set apart from His creation, the way a creator is separate from His creation, just as God is infinite and therefore different than His finite creation, just as God is set apart from anyone and anything else in the universe, His people, because of their union with Him, are also set apart in comparison to everything else in creation. And Scripture clearly teaches that the people of God are set apart. We are God's possession. We belong to God. We are His people. He calls us His friends. We are the inheritance of Christ, the bride of Christ. So believers, in comparison to the unbelieving in the world, are set apart. They're set apart for God. They do not share the same identity or the same destiny as those who do not know God. So if you plug that meaning in, then be holy as I am holy is just as I am set apart, you are to be a set apart people. But I think the primary essence of that verse is holiness as completeness, lacking nothing. God is everything that God should be. And as His people and His creation, it's possible for us to be everything that we were meant to be. We weren't meant to be God.
Right.
But we can be everything that we were meant to be as human beings. Now, that's attainable.
Right.
Because God puts at our disposal everything we need to be authentically human. We're indwelt by His Spirit. We're enlightened by His Word and His Spirit. We're empowered and led by His Spirit. We are one with Christ. And so we have everything that we need.
Right.
In order to live whole, unfragmented, complete lives. Unlike those who in their unbelief are separated from God, walking in spiritual darkness, unable to comprehend God's truth, unable to apply it even if they could comprehend it, and destined for eternal separation from God. Their lives are fragmented. Sin fragments and holiness completes.
Right.
So be complete as God is complete. Don't be God, you can't, but just as God is complete, you can be complete. That's attainable. And that makes that verse doable rather than, you know, just backing up the truckload of guilt, dumping it on you and saying, oh, I can never be that.
Right. Now, not having a background in understanding the original language for that verse, but I do understand that there are some words, whenever they are translated into the English language, our words are so limited to what their meaning actually is.
Well, when God chose Greek for the New Testament, surprise, surprise, He knew what He was doing.
Right.
Because the Greek language is one of the most precise, some I think would say the most precise, in human history, in that where we might have one word in English for something, in the Greek language there may be anywhere from 3 to 5 or more words for that same concept, each of them emphasizing a different perspective.
Right. The word love comes to mind.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
And in the Greek there are 3 words actually that are translated love, and all of them with different implications.
Right.
So the Greek language is very, very precise, and in that, ideal for Scripture. For example, there are different words translated will whenever speaking about the will of God. One of the Greek words that speaks of the will of God implies something that's going to be done no matter what. Write it down, it's going to be done.
Right.
There's no ifs, ands, buts, exceptions, it's got to be done. But there's another Greek word for will that implies it will only happen with our cooperation. God intends it, but we have to accept it and apply it. And that's the Greek word that is used when it says in 1 Thessalonians, this is the will of God, your sanctification, your holiness of life. It's God's intent, but you have to cooperate.
Right.
You have to present yourself a living sacrifice, put off the old, put on the new, walk in newness of life, walk in conformity to your calling and your identity. You have a part to play in that. The second coming of Jesus is the will of God, And the word used for that is the word that says, write it down. It's got to happen. But my lifestyle, I'm involved in that. That's right. Not automatic. So the Greek language is very, very precise.
So that word be that we translate in English, be holy, is that a word that talks about a progression, that talks about, is it a state of being? Is it a position? You see what I'm saying?
Well, yeah.
In the original language,
I'd have to look at that again. I haven't studied that particular verb recently, to be holy, but as you're saying, does the word "be" imply? It doesn't imply, excuse me, a one and done,
right?
Because
right.
holiness is something that we both opt for, but something that we have to reinforce and negotiate every day.
Mm. Right.
It's a lifestyle. It's not a static, boom, magic wand, perfected, set, now put it on cruise control.
Right.
No, no, no. You have to be working out your salvation continually. But be holy certainly carries the implication that it's attainable.
Right.
Yeah, so it's attainable. I like to think of holiness as something that begins with a decision and a determination. That has to be there as the foundation, but then it has to be fleshed out daily. It's almost like a good marriage. It begins with a covenant and a determination, but then you have to live that out and reinforce that on a moment-by-moment daily basis.
Right. Now, the definitions that you gave for holy, that's different than when we hear that God is holy, because I think it's where the...
Well, there's some overlap. I mean, because God is set apart and God is whole. Again, be holy as I am holy. But yet, Scripture also clearly indicates that there is a holiness, if you will, that is unique to God and God alone.
Right.
For example, my completeness as a child of God, that's a created completeness, and it's dependent upon an outside source who is greater than I am.
Right.
God's wholeness was not created. It has always existed. And God's wholeness is not dependent on any outside source.
Right.
God is not dependent upon anyone or anything. So again, there are differences between God's wholeness and my wholeness. It would be like, to just pick an analogy off the top of my head, talking about the strength of a 6'5", 280-pound defensive lineman in the National Football League, and talking about the strength of a 5'6", small-framed man.
Right.
You could apply the word strength to both of them, especially if the small-framed man works out and is in good condition and has good strength in proportion to his size. So you could pronounce both of them as being very strong, very fit, in excellent condition. But the guy who's 5'6" is not got a bench press what the 6'5", 280 guy
right.
is got a bench press. Proportionately, he may be doing as much or more, but he's not got to put up the same numbers and the same repetitions.
Right.
But yet you can apply the word strong, fit, to both of them equally. But as you do that, you have the understanding that while they are both equally fit,
right,
the outcomes in terms of weights and repetitions is not equal.
Mm-hmm. When the Holy of Holies was in existence,
mm-hmm.
One of the things that fascinated...
Well, it still is in heaven.
Right.
There is a Holy of Holies in heaven.
Here on earth.
The one on earth, right.
They had to tie a rope around the priest in case he was not who he said he was and he died in the presence of holiness.
Right.
that type of holiness, I think, is where the confusion comes in, is how in the world am I going to attain that holiness?
And you're not.
Right.
Obviously, so, that's unique to God.
So that the wholeness that they're talking about in Scripture, the Holy of Holies, that is more in the lines of just who he is, his divine nature.
That is what you experience when you're in the undiluted presence of God. Mm. And, you know, when Saul was encountered by Jesus on the road to Damascus, he fell like a dead man.
Right.
You know, I don't know if, well, I do know, we can't even begin to comprehend the majesty of God.
Hmm.
And were we to come face to face with the unbridled majesty of God, yeah, we wouldn't be able to stand in that presence. I mean, that's part of the mystery of God that we can't neatly diagram or whatever, but that level of holiness, that's a holiness that is unique to God. Again, holiness begins and ends with God. God's the definition of holiness. Mm. God's the embodiment of holiness. We can be holy, but it's not the same. It's not the same.
It's not the same holiness. Thing. That's why I really appreciate about these times that we're going to have, because there's so many things in Scripture that put ideas in our definitions and what we understand is so lofty.
Well, we read a word from God and then we filter it through the lenses of our own human thinking, our own human categories, our own human experiences, and it always loses something in the translation.
Yeah.
Because we attach ourselves to it.
Hmm. Right.
I mean, it's like talking about God as Father.
Right.
Father, for most people, is not a neutral term.
Hmm.
They either have very pleasant memories associated with Father or hideous memories associated with Father.
Right.
The person raised by a godly, caring human father will feel a warm fuzzy when he hears the word father. The young lady who was sexually abused by an evil father will recoil at the sound of that same word.
Right.
And so when the first person reads, you know, how much more will your heavenly father give? That's not hard for him to imagine.
Right.
When the young lady reads, how much more will your heavenly father give? That's hard for her to comprehend.
Right.
Yeah. Because for her, father brings negative connotations. And so for her growth in grace and in the knowledge of God, she's going to have to lay aside not only old concepts, but the very deep emotions and wounds that sustain those concepts, go through a healing process and lay off the old and gradually develop the new before she'll be able to wrap her heart around our Father who art in heaven.
Right. Going back to what you said initially, the completeness, how we are complete, where God is talking about that holiness. Obviously, that completeness has been broke with sin.
Right, and we start life estranged from God, at odds with God, divided and separated from God because of our sin. And since humans were created to have God indwelling them through his Spirit, a human being without the Spirit of God is as incomplete as an automobile without an engine.
Right. Right.
And so it's only when we come to Christ that we're indwelt by the Spirit of God, because those who do not have the Spirit of God don't belong to Christ. So it's not until we come to Christ that we can be complete.
Right. And maybe that's one of those other areas that one and done type of thing. In other words, once we come to Christ, and we are now adopted as sons, and the deposit of His Spirit is upon us. We have that completeness. Be holy as I am holy. So I do have that completeness.
I would say we are positionally complete. We don't lack anything,
right,
as we stand before God, because Christ in us is our hope of glory. His righteousness is our righteousness. So we are positionally complete. But then when God calls us to holiness, He's reminding us, I've positioned you, I've given you everything you need, but you have to learn how to apply it.
Right.
So I would liken it to somebody giving you a fully programmed computer with every app on it that you'll ever possibly need. But you are fairly computer illiterate. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The second I hand you that computer and set it up in your home, you possess everything that you need. But you need to learn how to operate it. Now, as you learn to operate it, it's no more yours than it was the second I gave it to you.
Sure.
But as you learn to operate it, you're, in essence, possessing your possession. You're actually making it your own.
Right.
Or another example, I purchase and give you as a gift a book. Now, the book is yours the second I hand it to you. But you haven't possessed it until you read it.
Right.
It's your possession, but you haven't possessed it.
Right.
So, in the same way, God said to ancient Israel, I've given you the land. It's already yours. But now you have to go put your foot upon it and conquer it and build your buildings and plant your crops. You have to possess what is already your possession. So holiness is ours the second Christ, who is holy, indwells us through His Spirit.
Wow, that's...
But we have to learn to possess our possession. We have to learn the apps and the operating systems.
Right. It's already ours. It's already
there. Already there.
And see what that does for that scripture is just...
It makes it possible because it's already there.
It's wonderful.
It's just a matter of learning how to use it.
How to navigate it. Right.
How to navigate it.
How to apply it every day, to yield to it every day.
What keystrokes you need.
Right, exactly. That's one. I mean, it puts it in such
Yeah, if I'm sitting terms. In front of the computer and it's mine, I know it can do more than what I'm doing with it right now.
Right.
But as I read my manual or ask a friend or even just experiment on my own, a month from now, I'm going to be able to do more on this thing than I'm doing currently.
And the thought keeps coming back to mind, and working with programs and designing and all that, all the time I'm coming across little things that I'm like, oh, that's
It'll
what that
do
does.
It'll do that, yes.
Like, oh, okay, if I do this, then that does work this way.
Yep.
And how cool that is to apply it to.
And it was there all along.
It was there all along. It just, I stumbled across it.
And in life, as we grow in grace, because we are holy, but yet we're called to grow. Is that contradictory? No. We are holy. We've been given the computer.
Right.
We're called to grow. We need to keep learning the keystrokes and the operating systems.
It. Right.
But there's a great difference mentally, emotionally, between knowing I've already got it, I just have to learn how it operates, and thinking I don't have it and I need to get it.
Right.
The first sets you up for expectation, the second easily sets you up for discouragement. And I'm afraid that's how some people think of holiness, as this carrot on the stick that no matter how hard they try, they're never going to get there.
Right.
Versus thinking of it as, it's already here.
It's already yours.
I just need to learn my keystrokes.
Right. And that could be another topic that we discuss.
Not keystrokes, because I'm not an IT person. I hire IT people like you and others.
But we could talk about our salvation in its positional part in our lives.
Position is established, And growth is just matching your experience to your position.
That'd be a good topic.
Christian growth is just being what you already are.
Right.
Learning how to be what you already are.
And understanding that that's who you already are.
Yeah, and that's not a such a foreign concept. I mean, you know, it'd be like a football coach saying, you're a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Right.
You've got a contract with us.
Right.
Now, we need you to be a Steeler out there on the field, meaning we have this legacy of hard-nosed football, that 500 record isn't good enough, that we begin each year thinking championship. Just making the playoffs isn't the goal. Winning it is. So I've signed the contract. I'm a Steeler. I've got a number and a uniform. But the coach may say, that's not the Steeler way.
Right.
You need to learn the Steeler way.
Right.
And that's... So am I a Steeler? Yes. At times, am I not a Steeler in my level of performance? Yes.
Right. And that's... That'd be a nice topic for another
Well, that's what walk worthy of your calling is all about.
Right.
You're already called, but now come into conformity with it.
Walk with it, right. Thank you for your time today.
You're welcome.
And for shedding some light on this mountain of a
Hopefully
concept.
We've shed light and not further muddied the waters.
Well, thank you. Till next time, we'll get together.
Thank you, Greg.